Welcome. My name is Norbert. I'm one of the leaders here at the Vineyard. And yes, I have the privilege to share with you. Give me a moment here. Oops. Okay. Today I don't have a funny story. Sorry, I figured it was fasting. Maybe it was not so appropriate to laugh. So, but we'll talk about a story, okay. We're talking about the story of a young man. One thing I personally really appreciate about the Psalms is that they're so real. I think they're the most read book in the Bible, because we can so easily identify with what's being said. Some of the books that we read in the Bible, they're a bit cryptic and a bit prophetic and a bit locked and a bit difficult. But the Psalms, we can just read and say, yep, that's me. I understand exactly how that person felt who wrote that particular Psalm. So today we're going to look at Psalm 42. And maybe you're wondering about my title, Hunger After God or Holy Schizophrenia. I'm not saying that in any degrading way. I'm really very honest about that. We will see in a moment that this particular person, as well as us, we have split personalities. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. There's an old person living in me, and there's a new person living in me, and there's warfare and there's struggle, and that's where so many of our problems come from. So I'm not trying to in any way make fun of a medical condition, psychological condition that seems to be affecting more and more people. On the opposite, I had a sense that today God was going to give some people here a breakthrough in that area. So listen up and be encouraged. I think we can take something from that psalm. Let me just give a brief introduction. It's not one of David's psalms. We don't even quite know who wrote the psalm. But there are some things that indicate to us what this is all about. In a little while, we go through it verse by verse. If you would like to open up to the psalm in your Bible, you can follow along. But let me just, as an introduction, explain this. We know from verse 2 that in the past, he went to the house of God in Jerusalem. That we do know. From verse 2, we know that he cannot go there now. For whatever reason, that person is hindered from going to the house of God. In verse 5, we read that he hoped that one day he would be allowed to return there. We do know that at that time when the story was told, he was roughly 200 kilometers north of Jerusalem. We know that because of verse 6, where it talks about the mountains of Hermon, which are approximately 200 kilometers north. And we do know that his enemy, whoever that was, had taken him away from his home. And that kind of leads us to think that it might be what is described in 2 Kings 14, where the king Jehoash of Israel, it was during the time when Israel and Judah were divided. You read the stories and the kings were fighting each other. And King Jehoash from Israel had come down to Jerusalem. He had ransacked the temple. He took away some of the golden things and tools and he took hostages. He took young men as hostages. And so there's a speculation that makes a lot of sense that it was one of those hostages that was being dragged away from Jerusalem up north who expressed his heart, and someone wrote it down and made this beautiful psalm for us. Now this young man is a lot like you and me, and he wrestles with a lot of the same questions that we wrestle with. But let's have a closer look at this, shall we? The main theme is hunger and thirst after God. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Some of you will know what hunger feels like the next few days. We are inviting you to join in this time of fasting, and you will have to decide for yourself how much you can do. Obviously, there are certain people here that cannot fast, should not fast fully, but maybe you can fast partially. But those of you that can fast food, you will experience the pain of hunger. But, you know, see, that's the big difference between hunger and thirst. Hunger hurts. Thirst kills. If we were not to drink until thirsty, we wouldn't be here next Sunday. Because we are told that you cannot live more than 3 or 4 days without water. So there is an increase. It starts with a hunger, a deep longing, and then it turns to desperation, which is just another whole different level. Thirst is so much more powerful than hunger. And this is what this young man is experiencing. We don't know much about him other than he used to be in the temple. He used to worship God. And now he can no longer do that. And so he asked this question, when can I go and stand before him? People in the Old Testament days felt they could only meet God in the temple. They didn't have the revelation that God was everywhere. And yes, it was a different time and a different season. The Spirit of God was not poured out in the same way as he is today. But they really felt that if they could not go to the temple, they could not connect with God. And so for him to be taken away from Jerusalem meant to be taken away from God. And so that leads him into a kind of a back and forth type of emotional roller coaster. And it starts out with what we can call the dark night of the soul. That's a term that's used to describe what one could call a collapse of a perceived meaning in life, or an eruption into your life of a sense, of a deep sense of meaninglessness. We could call it a spiritual crisis on the journey towards union with God. There was a Spanish monk. He was called St. John of the Cross in the 16th century, who has written poems and booklets about this very subject. And he says something that really, really made me think. Let me quote just a sentence. He said, when the soul reaches the dark night, all these loves are placed in reasonable order. This night strengthens and purifies the love that is of God and takes away and destroys the other. But what he's trying to say is this. There are different kind of loves that crave our attention in this life. And some of them are always at war in our heart. God is pulling one way and our flesh is pulling another way and Satan is pulling a third way and culture is pulling another way and we're just really, really torn inside. And he says, you know what? When you get to the dark night of the soul, the priorities will fall in place. And the love for God and the love of God will take top priority. Interesting. He actually goes as far as to say that not only should we embrace that dark night, we should actually seek it. I don't know if I would go that far. Most of us don't have to seek it. It comes to us. So let's not worry about that. But there is something very powerful and beautiful about the season in your life where you feel that you have been totally abandoned. And let's read how he describes that. He says, day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? There is a growing problem in what we called our developed world. I don't really like that term because, see, it all depends on who made the term, who defines what is developed and what is not developed. We may think that we in the Western world are so highly developed, and yet we have already surrendered and given up many wonderful things. But be that as it may, there is a very, very clear trend that people in rich countries, let's say, well-developed, strong economically, have a far greater issue with depression than the other countries that are far lower on the economic scale, where people have to fight for survival for next day's food, where people are without any insurance or any kind of security or suffering in ways we do not even understand. And yet, for some reason, they seem to have less problem with depression than we in the rich world that we live in. And I can testify to that after living many years in Asia, that that is true. I will never forget my first visit to a real, real slum. That was back in Manila, the so-called Smoky Mountain. It's a dump where people live, thousands of people live. And the first time I walked there, I could not believe my eyes. I saw a young man sitting in the rubble of his garbage, playing a guitar and singing a happy song. I thought, how can he be happy about this? I would be so depressed. But he was okay. He was totally okay. He was satisfied with his life in the garbage. And it's amazing how that can touch us. So the dark night of the soul is something that we are all familiar with to some degree. But then all of a sudden, at the second part of verse 5, he goes over to the other side, to what I call the hope within. All of a sudden, it comes. He says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. What has just happened? It's my belief that there is a hope within every human being. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our image that we bear of God. There's a hope within every person in this world, regardless of what they believe or what they practice. There's this hope. I recognized that hope when I was a young man and I was about to commit suicide. Many of you have heard the story, so I'm not going to bore you with that again. But for those of you that are fresh here, I was that close to killing myself. And then I had that exact same experience. Hope rose up inside of me. It was like a voice I heard that said, you don't have to kill yourself. There is a chance for a new life. I didn't know what kind of life that was supposed to be and who that hope was who that was. I had no idea because I was far from God at the time. But it was there. And it kept me from killing myself. And actually, as I was pondering on that, I need to be obedient about this. I have a feeling that there's someone here today, or maybe more than one person, you've been wrestling with suicidal thoughts just recently. The Lord just wants to meet you today. There is a hope within. No matter how dark your night may be right now, there is a hope within. And God wants to meet you in that today. So there's this young man. He goes from one side to the other, like I said, a bit schizophrenic. He keeps bouncing back and forth. And then something utterly amazing happens. This is the part I love the most. In the middle of that struggle, God comes down. And he meets him and gives him a breakthrough experience. It's a divine touch. It's something you cannot explain, something you cannot plan for, something you can only hope it will happen to you. And the way it's described, it's hard to understand. Here in this particular translation, it says, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides swept over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. In other translations, it describes it totally different. It talks about deep calling out to deep. We know that he is in the Hermon Mountains where there are powerful waterfalls. Maybe it was the sound of the waterfall more than the sound of the waves that he heard. We don't know. But something happened in that moment, and it was a supernatural divine experience, because he says, your waves, and that's in all translations, not the waves of the sea and the waves of the waterfall or whatever, your waves. He ascribes whatever is happening to the Lord. The Lord is touching him. He's giving him a baptism in the Father's love. He's allowing him to experience true love in that very moment as it comes in waves. It says big waves and small waves. Those of you that have been to the ocean, you know how that is. There's a pattern. I remember swimming in the South China Sea many times, and there would be three small waves, and then a big one would come. We'd always wait for the big one to jump into, and then there were three little ones, and then a big one. Some of you have experienced that. That's what it felt like. It came in waves. It wasn't just a one-time glimmer of hope. No, he was being washed. He was being touched repeatedly. It came in waves over him. I don't know if you can identify with that. Some of you can. You have had experiences like that where God just met you and you didn't know what happened. I will never forget the first time it happened to me. It was so overwhelming, I didn't have words for it. I didn't want to speak to anyone about it because I was afraid they would think I'm a little bit cuckoo. Because I never read in the Bible about that. But then it happened again. Irregular, sometimes, well, not sometimes, mostly completely unexpected. One time it happened while I was driving the car, and that was not good. I had to pull over because I knew if I keep going, I'm going to have a severe accident. If that raises any kind of hunger in your soul, in your heart, I challenge you today to keep opening your heart for the Father love of God to come and touch you. He desires to do that. He touched Jesus several times while he walked here on earth by meeting with him, speaking to him, and encouraging him, saying, I'm pleased with you. You're my son. I'm pleased with you. And it wasn't about what he had done. It wasn't about being good. It was just about being the Son of God. And you and I, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And he desires to touch us and to meet with us. So this is an amazing experience. And I hope with all my heart that for those of you that have never experienced anything like that, that God would meet with you. As we were praying before the service, and even last night as I was preparing, I had a sense that there is some kind of a breakthrough anointing here today for some of you. I believe that for some of you, this could be maybe the first time in your life to have that kind of experience with the Father love. So open your hearts. Expect it. I believe God wants to meet us. And now something really, really strange happens. He has this powerful experience with the love of God. And guess what? He goes right back into the dark night of the soul. That's why he said he's flip-flopping back and forth. Oh, my God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? And of course, there is the prophetic spirit within that even reminds us of the words of Jesus on the cross. That's the beauty about the Word of God. There are so many levels that we don't understand. That we can read a story and underlying is something prophetic that we have read somewhere else, that was written hundreds of years later or before. So now he's back in the night. He says, why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones and they scoff. Where is this God of yours? And then something happens again. Why am I discouraged? He asked himself. Hey, I've just met God. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then he breaks through and he jumps back over to the other side like that. And he ends this very psalm with this powerful declaration, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. He ends in worship. He ends in worship. Actually, the story goes on. Also on, excuse me. In the old manuscripts, Psalm 42 and 43 are actually one. I don't know, somewhere along the way they got divided. So if you want to read on the story, feel free to do so. But for our purposes today, this is where it ends. It ends in a high note of worship, in an expression of hope. I will put my hope in God. One more thing I forgot to mention. When he had that powerful experience with the waves washing over him, it was the only time in the psalm where he called the Lord by his name. It's the word Yahweh or Yahweh or Jehovah, whichever way it was pronounced. We will never know until we get to heaven. Before that, he talked about God as Elohim, the God. And all of a sudden, it became personal. My God. And he called him by name, the name that was revealed to the people of Israel. So this is where the story ends. And I hope it was an encouragement to you to see that you're not the only one that goes back and forth with your emotions. We all have these times when we wake up in the morning and we have a song in our heart and it's just really great. And the next day, for no reason whatsoever, nothing has happened, we wake up and we have the blues. We don't understand the meaning of life. We don't know why we're here, and we're absolutely good for nothing. I see on your faces that you can identify. Well, this is exactly what's happening. And the word of the Lord for you today is, be not discouraged about that. There is nothing wrong with you. That is human nature. And actually, and that's the beauty that I saw when I studied this, we need the dark night of the soul so that God can come and rescue us. So many times when bad things happen, we feel we are being punished. We feel I'm just reaping what I sowed now. It's coming around again. I have done something wrong, something bad, and now I'm getting punished for it. But that is not the God we serve. Our God is not up in heaven with a stick waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can slap you. That's not the God we serve. And so when bad things happen to us or difficult things happen to us, there is a way to embrace them in a good sense. No weapon formed against us will harm us. Oh yes, the enemy tries to hinder us. He tries to hurt us. He tries to kill us. But no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so we can take that bad, negative thing and say, God, what do you want to be for me now that you couldn't be before? What is it you're trying to say? Where do you want to draw me? And most of the time, he will draw you right back into the place of the waves. He will draw you right back into a place where he can touch you and speak to you. So again, let me repeat that, because I feel this is probably very important for some of you here today. If you're wrestling with any form of depression, do not think that you're being punished, not for one moment. Do not even go there and think it's because of this and this and this I've done. And even if it is, if it's forgiven, it has no power. So if you're struggling with emotional tensions in your life, bring it to God and say, Lord, make me stronger through that. Help me identify with others and help me to get to that place like this young man, that I can go from the dark night of the soul to the hope within and meet you right in the middle where you come and wash over me with your love. So we want to have a time of prayer soon. I just want to say a couple more thoughts about fasting. I know we've had a good teaching about that not long ago, so I will not get into detail. Just thoughts, a couple thoughts. For me, when people ask me, why do we fast? Why do Christians fast? My short answer is usually that it is to remind us that there should be nothing in our lives that controls us than God. It's there for us as a sign for the visible and the invisible world, and for myself, that there's only God. And everything else has to submit to that, even my physical hunger, my desires, the things that I wish. So that's a good explanation. But then studying this psalm, I came up even with another one. You know, as we experience physical hunger, it becomes a symbol of our spiritual hunger that we have. And our spirit becomes more receptive and more sensitive. So while your stomach growls and grumbles, transfer that into the spirit and say, Lord, I long after you more than after the hamburger or whatever it is that you're craving at the very moment. Lord, I seek you more. I desire you more than Pepper Cocker. This is what fasting is for me, and it's just a wonderful discipline. And I just invite you, if you've never tried it, if maybe you've never done more than a day, it's I'm not saying it's easy, but I can also say with confidence that you will benefit. You will experience maybe a facet of God that you never experienced before. On the other hand, if you can't make it past the second day, don't condemn yourself. I never forget reading in the story of John Wimber. I think most of you have read that book. Where John Wimber, for those of you that don't know, he was the founder of the Vineyard Movement many years ago. He's now passed away. But he was, one day, he left his family and he said, I'm going to fast for 3 days in the desert. And he drove away and he left. And that same evening, he called his wife, Carol. He said, Carol, I didn't make it. I'm at McDonald's. So if that happens to you, don't let yourself be condemned. We are human after all, and we can grow and we can learn. Right now, I would like to ask Jacob to come and play a bit for us. I want to act on what I've expressed earlier. We want to pray for people here that struggle with depression. That's something that Mark actually prayed for last week already. It's very interesting. It keeps coming back. Maybe God isn't done with that yet. So if you're struggling, not just with depression, but even with just emotional conflict, with emotional tensions, with that dark night of the soul. Did you know that they say that Mother Teresa, she was in that dark night of the soul for over 40 years? I can hardly believe that. That's what I read. And they said she didn't come out of it until shortly before her death. But it didn't keep her from serving the poor. It didn't hold her back from becoming an idol for many people of a person that has laid down their life for the good of others so that the love of God can break through. So if you feel that you are constantly in that dark night, don't let that stop you. Don't let that hinder you. And we can pray for you today. If you feel that you're there right now, we can pray for you today that you will have a breakthrough, that you will feel the waves of the Father's love wash over you. If you've never experienced that, you should come. You need to come forward today. You need to get prayed for. I also want to remind those, if you're here and you heard what I said about the suicidal thoughts, don't leave this room without getting prayer. We gladly pray for you, and nobody will know, it will be anonymous, but we would like you to come and be set free from that today. So Father, come now, we pray, and meet with us, Lord.